Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful that you are the one who literally can multiply the loaves and the fishes. And Lord, I just pray that you would work through me to be able to share these things that are meager. And Lord, bless them to be a blessing to those that hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Newt Rockne was the college football coach of Notre Dame, I think, back in the 30s. He's supposedly the best football coach in the history of college football. I don't know how many games he won, but certainly a lot. And one of his quotes was, "Concentrate on your weaknesses until your weaknesses become your strength." And so, sort of following in that light, I wanted to think of ways that I personally can be a better Christian. I think we've all heard the things that you know, we need to read our Bible and pray every day. But I'll just confess that my reading habits are sporadic, and I've noticed some deficiencies in what specifically I've been reading. And I'll give you an example. I happen to have an app on my phone. It's the Ligonier app and has the Bible reading plan already built into it. I punch the button, it comes up with the text, and it'll actually play it for you if you don't want to read it. And so I'm pretty faithful in going through that. But I have a habit, because it's always picking up a passage in the Old Testament and a passage in the New. But it's easy to get that just as a history lesson. You know, this king fought this battle against, you know, these people, and this is what happened. And it's easy to not really put yourself in the moment, experience what that king was thinking. To read it superficially, I guess, is what I might say. And I think the reason why a lot of other reading plans have part of them reading the Psalms and the Proverbs is because the Psalms and the Proverbs are a lot different. Just as Roy read, man, I couldn't have picked a better thing to read, but the Psalms have this emotional fuel inside of them that when you read, you can really identify with the spiritual state that this person's going through and where is he getting his strength from. I had written down to read Psalm 9 as an example of this sort of spiritual fuel to fight your day with. Let's read this. "To the chief musician upon Mathlabeth, a psalm of David. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right hand, my right, and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they have made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Well, boy, if that doesn't put spiritual fuel in your tank to fight your day, I don't know what will. And so I'm going to try as I live this Christian life to make it a point to get that fuel that I need from the Psalms, and just like the Psalms, wisdom from the Proverbs. Another problem that I face daily, I think, is just distraction, and it's hard to get that alone time with God to read and pray and to have time to simply sit there and meditate. By the time the day has started, the distractions and the things that you have to deal with have already come in, and it's sort of like you spend the rest of the day not being able to really have a good firm footing from which you launch from out into the day. And I'm sure that Jesus, you know, I don't know if there's any magical antidote to that, but there are some examples in Scripture about what Jesus did, especially when he had important things to do and was pressed upon for time. In Mark 1:35, it talked about how Jesus, having to get up a great while before day. Let's read that. And in the morning, this is before he was about to select the disciples. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And I think that we need to have that downtime, that time alone with God that it seems so difficult to get in order to fight the Christian battle every day. I'm going to read 1 Timothy 2:1-3. And this is just the importance of prayer. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, that means of primary importance, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Everybody knows prayer is important, but how often it is that I have missed out on an opportunity that I had knowing about a prayer request. I, you know, might have written it down even, and I forgot to pray about it. And then I feel like I was left out when there was a magnificent answer to prayer that I was not a part of. And following on to that, I think it's important to keep a prayer journal. I'm going to, I'll tell you a story. It's about a particular young man who stayed with me during a meeting, and it was an impressive thing to me about this young man. I'm not going to say who he was, but this is not a fictional story. When he came to stay with me, he had a bedroom all to himself, and he had all of his gear in his book bags and stuff. And he had a notebook just like this. And in that notebook were prayer requests. On the left hand, the date of when he made that first prayer request. And there was a slot for when that prayer was answered, the date that it was, and he had a little tally mark for how many times he had prayed. And so can you imagine the benefit to your prayer life of being able to go back in time and flip through the pages of all the past answers that God has given you in prayer? I was just very impressed by that young man. You know, we're called, you know, to remember. And I think that's one of the shortcomings of the disciples. Let's read Mark chapter 8, verses 17 through 19. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember when I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" And they say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, "How many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" And they said, 7. And he said unto them, "How is it that ye do not understand?" We need to remember God's answers to us in prayer. The events of our lives that we've seen great deliverance, jot them down. That way, when difficulty strikes, you've got something to go back to from personal experience where you can read about God's deliverance in your life. He's essentially saying, have you already forgotten these events that happened within a time span of a few years? You've already forgotten about them. So anyway, that's something that I need to work on personally. Folks, we need to call, converse with, and get to know people that we don't know, people that we don't talk to on a regular basis. It's we're given a commandment in Scripture to bear one another's burdens, and it's really easy for everyone to stay in your comfort zone, talk to the people that you always talk to, and this is a shortcoming of mine. I tend to stay in my own group of friends, and I'm not really fulfilling the law of Christ because it says bear one another's burdens. How do I know about burdens if I'm not communicating with people that are part of my church family? And so I've got here as a scripture Galatians 6:2. I wish I could quote these right off the bat. Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I can't think of any better thing to do than to talk, get out of your comfort zone. We have plenty of people in church that we haven't seen for a while. Maybe give them a call, encourage them, something like that. Brother Roy had mentioned how I think he said something about Christ lifting up his head, and that it's easy to tell whether or not someone is doing well just by their countenance, their physical countenance. And we need to look for those who are sort of down and out. There's plenty of admonitions in Scripture to care about the sick, the feeble. Let's read 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. We've got examples in Scripture of Jesus doing this very same thing. Let's look at Luke 21:2. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. My point there is that Jesus was not, he wasn't just looking at the wealthy folks. He wasn't just looking at the people who were important in that day and time. Even the woman at the well was someone that the Jewish people wouldn't talk to. But Jesus went and spoke to people who were sort of the he cared about and watched and had concern for these people who were not the important people of the day. And that's important for us to do as well. Let's see here. James. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We need to be paying attention to those who are less fortunate than us. I'm going to give you another personal example of something that I fail to do on a regular basis. Every moment of your day, of my day, my children are watching me, and they see my example. I want all the time my children to look upon my example and it to be a good example, something that they can grow from having seen. But I'll give you just a for instance. The other day, I went to Dollar Tree to get some Band-Aids, and for whatever reason, one of the lanes was closed down, and I was behind one other person in the line, and for some reason, the register just didn't work. The lady couldn't get her coupon to go through, and I had an opportunity to display patience to Talmadge at that point in time, and you know, I really sort of flopped. Now, I didn't say anything verbally, but my body language was saying a lot, I'm sure. And, you know, I came away from that experience thinking that I really have a problem with my patience. I need to develop patience. Jesus suffered and endured hardships that I will never know, and he did it patiently. And here I am, I can't wait for a few minutes in Dollar Tree. What is wrong with me? And so, you know, I just I felt convicted about that. I'm going to share with you some scripture here. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And that word in conversation, that means your behavior. Your behavior, how you behave towards others. Be an example. That's something that I wished I had been a better example at that particular moment. Titus 2, verses 1 through 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Now, of course, I'm not an aged man, but I certainly am expected to exhibit patience, and that's something I need to work on, and Scripture calls us to do it. Another thing that I want to work on is trying to have God, thoughts of God and his continual presence in my mind at all times. And reformers talk about this as being living life coram Deo. That means before the face of God. And I think that this, it's talked about in Scripture, 1 Chronicles 16:11. Let's go there. 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Let's read Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we not only should be seeking God's face, but realizing that God is all the time watching. He is looking to show himself strong on behalf of those that fear him. And we need to sort of cultivate that in a life full of distractions, work, family life. It's easy to get living in the moment and forget the sort of eternal perspective that our lives have. So that's something else I need to work on. Writing cards and letters of encouragement. Now, there's no real scripture that says, you know, you've got to write cards or something like that, unless you think about just the example of the New Testament itself. The New Testament is a collection of letters written by apostles to churches. And in one particular case, it's written to one individual, Philemon. And they're full of admonitions, encouragements, even discipline issues. And I've been recipients of letters from Brother Zach. Both I've heard of letters where he told people about things that he felt they were doing wrong. He's told people about things they're doing right. He's given me encouragement letters. I have on my desk lamp at work an encouragement where he printed out for me things to think about how to be a compassionate husband and to be kind to my wife. And I still have the card that the LeBeers, Victoria and Fred LeBeer, gave me. It's right on my lamp. It says, Miracle and Tony, let what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And it's there right in front of me all the time. And I think of just all the cards and letters that I've received and what they meant to me. Folks, I'm just encouraging you that even just writing a note to someone means a whole lot. And Scripture itself is a lot of that. It's letters written to people. Be faithful to use the gifts that you have. I think in life it's really easy to want to focus, well, I want to do big things for God. I want to be this or that. And there's sort of like if you think about minor things or things that, like, I'm sure, I don't actually know who set up these chairs in the off to the side, the folding chairs today. But nevertheless, that's something that had to be done. And there's people who do the minor activities, the cleaning up, the changing of light fixtures. I could name a person here who's done an enormous amount of work for the church that no one knows about, but just a few people. And that's showing yourself faithful in the small things. Folks, if we're faithful in the small things, God will bless us with bigger things to participate in and to be faithful in. But if we're not faithful in the small things, why would he give us more opportunity for failure? We need to really focus on being faithful in the jobs that we have, that we've been given by God. So let's read some scripture about that. Luke 2:36-37. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Here's someone who was elderly, and this is how she found to serve God, and it was a service to God. God had it recorded in Scripture what this woman was doing. When you're praying, when you're fasting, when you're thinking, serving other people, you are doing God a service. It doesn't matter if it's big or small. It matters that we're faithful to do it. Let's see, Matthew 26, 7 through 13. And there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." I just wanted to, here's a simple act, one simple act that this woman did, and it's written in a permanent remembrance in Scripture about what she did. Was it a tremendous thing? Not in the big picture, but this was something that was special, and God recognized it as being special at the moment that it happened. And I had a personal sort of experience like that, not exactly this sort of situation, but I remember when Ricky Holmes was still with us. I was on Christmas vacation, and Brother Ricky called me. I think it was either the day of Christmas or the day after. I can't remember which, but I was away in Virginia visiting the in-laws and having a real good time. And I thought at the time, you know, here's Brother Ricky calling me while I'm away on vacation and just asking me how I'm doing. How was Christmas? Did you enjoy staying with the family? And I knew it was like one of these moments where he was ministering to me. And I appreciate the fact that that's one time I really did felt ministered, and I recognized that moment was it was a precious gift from the Lord, and it worked out through Brother Ricky. So I know we've come up on 12 o'clock, and there's a few more things that I could share. I was going to share about my own experience driving Sister Martha Sanders and Nadine Barrett. Sister Nadine is still around with us. She's in, I think it's North Carolina, or anyway, I don't know where she's at now, but I used to drive to Caraway, Arkansas. That's a long drive through some very flat and boring land. And what a blessing it was, because on the way there, I'd tune into all these Christian radio stations, and I would drive and pick up those ladies listening to all this good, WCRV or whatever, and pick them up. And on the way back, we would listen to Brother Bradley. And I knew I was, I guess it was a service. It didn't really feel like a big deal. I was single at the time. I had time to go and bring these ladies back and forth to church. But it was a blessing to me. And how often we miss out on these acts of service that are really a blessing to us because we're not observant. Be looking for ways that you can serve. Be looking for ways that you can glorify God and minister to other people.